week, we started this initiative for 2022, which we did in 2017. And it was just wonderful. It was a wonderful surprise, really, just how connecting it was for all of us, how we learned things, we shared things, we grew, there was a deepening of getting into the scripture. And I know for many of us, with our pace and our schedule and everything that's going on, it's difficult to have a set time, a set practice, a discipline of getting into the scripture. So the New Testament has 260 chapters. There are 52 weeks in the year. That comes out to a perfect 5 chapters a week, no remainder left over, right? So perfect. So that's clearly what God wants us to do, because bam, right there, okay? So 5 chapters a week. We just went through Matthew 1 through 5. If you need a certificate, come and see me, and I'll give you one this week so we can get that over with, right? We don't have to worry about that. This is about the engagement. There is a destination, but what happens is that we find that journey together of connecting in the Word of God. One of the ways that we're trying to help also is the Christway Connect podcast, which you can find Christway Connect on however you listen to podcasts. Last year was our inaugural year, and we looked through a book called Celebration of Discipline. We shifted gears, and we dove right into Matthew. So last week, we got together and talked about Matthew chapter 3, and it was exactly that. We just flipped on the mics and started talking about that particular chapter. Some great stuff came out. Every week, as a touch point, whatever would be the middle chapter of those 5, that's what we're going to try our best to discuss on Wednesday. So you could think about it. It'll download early, typically around 6, 7 in the morning. It'll download, and you can listen to that and maybe prompt you throughout those next few passages. So Sunday, I'll be speaking on the 5 chapters to come. Wednesday, we'll do the podcast. Just one other intentional effort to touch you with some words, some perspective, and help you move through the week. So that is that's the idea. Have you ever heard, he said, she said? And you have to kind of say it like that, too. He said, she said, you know, that whole thing, a little bit of that going on. He said, she said. You got that. Have you ever heard that? I actually looked that up. That's a lexicon. Like, that's made it. That's made it to the lexicon. Like, it's not just something, you know, in third. Well, he said, she said. It's in there. Today, what I want to title this is I want to title it What He Said. I'm not sure about he said, she said, but today we're going to talk about what he said. Get your Bibles ready. I'd love to hear pages flipping. And frankly, we often use our phone. I do too, for sure. One of the ways that I connect with the Scripture when we do things like this is on the way to work, whether it's coming here or wherever I'm going early in the morning, I will put my phone in the car, hit that chapter, and have them read it to me. And one chapter, I can do several translations of that chapter by the time I get to where I'm going. It's just an easy practice. It gets you going, and it primes the pump a little bit. But I'd love for you to have your Bible. I'd love for you to take notes. Get a Bible, a literal India paper and everything, right? Get a Bible and take some notes through this calendar year. Don't miss that opportunity. You'll thank me later, right? Down the road, when you look at it and you see things. Melinda and I were talking about it, and we were talking about moving through the book of Matthew, and she said, I have notes from when we did it in 2017. There are 2 Bibles in my office. When you walk into the doorway of my office and the library shelves are all there, if you look immediately to your left, as soon as you walk in the door, there are 2 Bibles there. One is the Bible of my mother and one is the Bible of my father. And you can flip open those Bibles, particularly my mother's Bible. It was her practice to write and note and take all those things. And look through there and pages after pages. And I'll look and I'll see something, 1963, 1972. I'll see promise, fulfillment. Just you flip through. That stuff's priceless. Here's the deal. It happens. But if it happens and we don't remember it, we lose a huge gift. So really, I'm encouraging you. Grab a Bible that you can use all through this year. Pick a different translation, whatever might work for you. But get those Bibles ready. I want us to go to Matthew 5:17. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV all day today. Matthew 5:17 is actually last week, right? So we read 1 through 5, but I'm going to pick up chapter 5 because 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus' first kind of inaugural sermon, a compilation of many of the things he taught. 5:17, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He didn't come to abolish them. He came to fulfill them. Now, I am the guy that says the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, was not written to me. It was written for me, and I can reference it, and I can look at it and get the bigger picture. But I don't think it was written to me. And when there are promises in the Old Testament, I don't think they were written necessarily to me. I can't just lift one up, right? That's just not my practice. However, Jesus did not just, well, that doesn't mean anything. He said, I've actually come to take those Hebrew Scriptures, the law and the prophets, and fulfill them. That's what we're going to talk about today. He said, what he said is he came to fulfill them, not to isolate them, not to marginalize them, not to put them on some back shelf, certainly not to abolish them. He said, I came to fulfill them. But he came to fulfill them in this way. I'd like you to consider this. Not in perfection, which is what I think a lot of us believe. I think a lot of us believe that he came to fulfill the law by his personal perfection. But I don't actually think so. Not from his perfection, but in perspective. His perspective of what that actually meant. His perspective of when it was written, when it was shared, when it was presented. He's going to tell us what he said it really means and how we really apply it to fulfill it. Fulfill. Fully filled. Jesus, the filler to the full. That's what fulfill would be. Fully filled. You see, there's a life that we can walk in Christ that has us fully filled. We want to walk in that. That's the process of this whole year, moving in to that space. And what's important is the first hearers. Now again, Matthew is the Jewish gospel writer, right? Matthew's the Jewish gospel writer. Luke is the Gentile gospel writer. So Matthew is writing to a Hebrew audience, and the first hearers of this were Jews. Doing business with the law mattered, right? He couldn't just go, well, there's nothing to that. That's like taking all of your culture and just dumping it. Yeah, the first 200 years of this country, there's nothing really to it, Constitution, none of that matters. We're like, whoa, what? It used to matter. It mattered last Sunday. But it doesn't matter this Sunday? Like, what happened? What are we doing here? The law mattered to them. He's not abolishing the law. He's fulfilling it. He's bringing us to the full. Because we can read the law. No other gods. No idols. Don't take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Don't murder. Honor your father and mother. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't envy. We got all that. Yeah. But what does that mean? He tells us what it means. He says something about those things, and that's what we're going to read through today. So the Sermon on the Mount here, what's going on is over these 2 weeks, there's a little carryover. We'll certainly do that throughout the year. Chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. So I pulled from chapter 5, and then we're going to move forward through this. Now, what I want to do, interestingly, is go to the end of chapter 7. So flip over to chapter 7. The closing editorial of chapter 7, verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying, so you got chapter 5, 6, and 7, full of red letters, right? All the stuff Jesus is saying. And then the editorial is verse 28 and 29 in chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. He taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Whoa, what? You see the contrast? He starts by saying, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. And then after he says all that he has to say, everybody's editorial on it was, okay, something different's going on here. Have you been in that space in the Spirit? Have you been in that space in a church gathering? Have you been in that space during preaching or your own personal study where you're like, oh, okay, something, okay. Something different is happening right now. They were amazed by him. Now let's listen to what he said. I just wanted to catch that. Catch that at the very end. But let's listen to what he said. Matthew 5. What's going on in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5? All opposite world stuff. All counterintuitive stuff. Poor in spirit? I don't want to be poor. Mourn. Blessed are they who mourn. What? I don't want to mourn. What are you talking about? No. You're happy if you mourn. No, I'm not happy if I mourn. No, he said, but you're blessed. Yeah, well, I don't feel blessed. He goes, that's why I'm telling you. When you're poor in spirit, that's why I'm telling you. When you mourn, that's why I'm telling you. When you're meek, yeah, but meekness is weakness. No, not in my economy. When you're meek, you actually inherit the earth. When you hunger and thirst, when you're merciful, pure, and a peacemaker. You see, when all of those things are in place, man, that's counterintuitive. These Jews were good at fighting for their space. They were told to compromise that Jehovah is God, and hundreds of them stretched out their necks and said, well, kill us right here. And the decree was pulled. They were tough. They were hard. They knew how to fight. They knew how to find that space and hold it. And he says, yeah, I know that's what you read, but listen to what I have to say. What he said was counterintuitive. Now, I look at chapter 5, verse 13. That's what is up on the screens. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. People don't put their light under a lamp, put it under a bowl. They put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. It gives light to everyone in the house. You know what Jesus does in that space? He immediately goes to the third banner. He immediately, chapter 5, he is talking about the redemption of your life. Well, redemption is connected to purpose. We've color-coded these for ease. Redemption is connected to purpose. I wish I could find my purpose. If you've been searching for your purpose, I'm about to give you the answer. For the low price of $99.95, I'm about to give you the answer. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. That's your purpose? It is. Because here's what's happening. You bring light to everyone in the house. And I will go out and say that if in my life is not bringing light to everyone in the house, then I have misread the passage. I can be doing all the church things. I can be doing all the Jesus things that I think they are. But what he says is, your purpose is salt and light. You make change. You show up and change happens. Light emanates from you. What's my job? No, that's it. The redemption of my life is to be light. What about the rules? Light. What about all the obligations and things? Salt. Light. Jesus, what he said. Defining space for us, what this whole thing looks like, what fulfillment of the law looks like is that we bring light. What's your area to bring light? Think about it. How much of this county, how much in Illinois and north of here and south and east and in Vigo County, how much property is covered if just the people in this room bring light? Everywhere we go. How much property gets covered? Now, we probably need it in our own house as much as anywhere else. But beyond that, in moving out, the light and the change. You know what he's saying to them? These people hanging out on the hillside. He says what we say here. You can make a difference. You're created to make a difference. You can make a difference. I hope you see that when you read. As we move on, you're looking then, moving on through chapter 5, If you have an NIV Bible, there's some headings. Sometimes different Bibles have headings and different things, sections. He talks about murder. He talks about adultery. He talks about divorce. He talks about oaths and revenge and what love looks like. He talks about all these things. But and they're not up there. You have to actually look through your own Bible to see them and check them out later. But here's the deal. Listen to this. I'll just start at the beginning of each one. Little phrase. Verse 21. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, don't murder. But I tell you. You've heard that it was said, don't commit adultery. But I tell you. It's been said, anyone who divorces his wife, but I tell you. Again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, don't break your oath. But I tell you. You've heard that it was said, eye for eye, a tooth for tooth. But I tell you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you. You get it? There are all these things that have been presented that they're believing, that they've held on to. And he is systematically, one by one, identifying it. And you'll be reading it this week if you haven't read it last week. I get that's what you heard. But what he said is, it's this. Redefined it. I get that you didn't kill them. I got it. There was no gun involved. There was no knife. I got it. Yeah, I didn't kill them. Yeah, but your words, you slandered them. Yeah, I get you didn't sleep with her. I get there was no motel key involved in the whole thing. I got that. Everybody kept their clothes on. Got it. Yeah, I didn't do anything. Well, you see, I'm trying to bring life to the full. And when you are married to her, but you really think about doing stuff with her, you've compromised that life to the full. Oh, I know you didn't do it. Well, you might as well have. Because now when you're with her later, your intimacy is compromised. Get it? He said you're kidding yourself, essentially. I know you're going letter of the law. I got it. Yeah, put the word on your mind and your heart. So you put a box on your head. I got it. But you're missing the point. What he said is, I am coming to bring you life to the full. I'm coming to bring you life to the full. And as we read through these things, what struck me this week, I've never thought of this before, ever. I've told a couple of people yesterday at Discovery. We had a wonderful Discovery yesterday, and I even just shared it with them. I was sitting on the edge of my bed tying my shoes. I wasn't reading the scripture. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about this passage, and it struck me. Jesus, you said, you know, all these things, but I say, what he said, right? But I say. But you weren't contrasting it with the word. Jesus never said, well, it's written, but I say. That's not there. He didn't say, well, it's written, but I say. And we know Jesus said it's written. When did he say it? You read it last week. With the temptation of the devil, right? The devil says it, and Jesus is like, it is written, it is written, it is written. So he clearly could have said that and had the precedent to do it. But that's not what he did. He wasn't contrasting what I'm about to say with what was written. He was contrasting what I'm about to say with what others have said. You have heard it said. You've heard it interpreted this way. I'm about to interpret it this way. Do you love that conflict? Most of us do not. Right? You've heard it said this way, but I'm going to interpret it this way. In my office, there are half a dozen, eight, nine journals, quarterly journals. They're Mishnah journals. My understanding of that, and the reason that I subscribed to them and got them over a couple of years, is because it's how the rabbis interpret the writing. The Mishnah is how the rabbi interprets it. So it's fascinating for me to read through there and hear how a rabbi might interpret a passage. And let's talk about Sabbath. How much can you walk on the Sabbath if you're a good Jew? How much can you walk back then in those days on the Sabbath? Well, Larry, he's a rabbi, and he says you can walk 5 miles. Randy's a rabbi, and he says you can walk 3 miles. Charles is a rabbi and says I can't walk at all. And guess what? I get to pick. I get to pick which guy I want to follow. When the Lord told Moses, the people won't touch the mountain, and you get to determine what that means. And then we align ourselves with the rabbi that we believe in, the rabbi that we like, the rabbi that lets us sleep in on Sunday, I don't know, whatever. We align with one of those people. We align with that. Jesus says, you've heard these interpretations. I'm telling you something different. Not to bring shame over the keeping of the law, but to help us understand that his teaching, his perspective, what he said, helps us actually live a full life. The 10th commandment is to covet, to envy. I don't go steal from them. But I live my life wishing I could, wishing I was, wishing something else. Those are the conditions of the heart. And Jesus nails that, doesn't he? It's about the condition of the heart and the fulfillment of all that. I hope as you read through here, you're able to see that. I'm reading out of NIV. Does anybody have a KJV? Anybody have a KJV that's willing to admit it? I'm just kidding. Yeah. You know what we're looking for here? We're looking for the AJV. The accurate Jesus version. The accurate Jesus version. Like what he said. I know that it's been interpreted like this. But I didn't just promise you life. Hear my words. Jesus said, I promised you life to the full. I promised you life to the full. I can have life, but my legs can be broken. I can have life, but I can have weights on me. That's why we say salvation and freedom are not the same. You can have life. You can be born again. You can be saved, but not free. And so many of us know that. We know it. We know that we were saved. We believed in who he was and what he had done. And then we were just weighted. Scripture even says, lay aside every weight and the sin. It's a completely different thing. Different categories. We know that can be the case, and Christ is leading us into fulfillment. So what's important is that we listen to what he said. What he said. And interesting, you're like, well, the whole Bible is what he said. Well, no, the whole Bible is not what he said. This is what he said. He said, you've heard it interpreted this particular way, but I'm telling you this about the topic. About revenge. Here's what I think about revenge. Here's what I think about adultery. Here's what I think about divorce. Here's what I think about loving someone. And for us to do business with it matters. Jesus notes how easily we can miss it. So as you read into this week and you get into chapter 6, I'm not going to do every single chapter, but you get into chapter 6, again, the headings on the chapters, prayer, giving. He talks about giving. He talks about people. We just did a little giving thing, right? Thank you. I thank you for your giving. You're going to get receipts here shortly from the church. Thank you for your donation through the year, right? We value that. We thank you for it. We appreciate it. Jesus said, you're giving. He said, you may not be giving right. Oh, the right amount? No. It's not really about the amount. It's about the heart. It's about the heart of the giver. So he talks about giving. Not people that say, oh, I've given. Oh, I gave. Did you tithe this week? Oh, yes, sir. Sure did. I give every week. They're not saying they're doing it and lying. Hear what I'm telling you. They're doing it. This is the part that needs to hit us. If you're a disciple, follower of Christ, now would be the time to pay attention. He's talking about fulfillment. He's not saying the people that lie and say they're giving and don't. He's not talking about the people that say they're praying and don't. He's not talking about the people, and you're going to read it this week, that say they're fasting and aren't. He's talking about people that are fasting, missing meals in the name of Christ, giving in the name of Christ, praying in the name of Christ, and he says, you're missing it. It's not the hypocritical person that is presenting one way and not doing it. These people were praying. They were giving, they were fasting, and he said, you're missing it. He talks about what treasures are. He talks about worry. In chapter 7, he talks about judging. I just have to hit that one, chapter 7. Don't judge, or you too will be judged. So, who is it? Somebody help me out. Is it Tupac? Who is it? Who is it? Somebody that's a little more cultured than I am. Who, like, you don't judge me, God judge me. Whoever said that is wrong. Wrong. Because we say, well, judge not that you be not judged. You don't judge me. You need to thank God that I judge you. And I thank God that you judge me. I thank God that you're my brother's keeper. Because there is a difference between judgment and condemnation. There's a difference. And you know what else? We just need to read the rest of the verse. Judge not that you be not judged. Okay, got that. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And in the measure that you mete out, it's coming back. I can live with that part. I can live with that part because the scripture also tells me that I know a tree by its fruit. It also says that I try the spirits to see if they're of God or not. Ask me to come alongside and discern and help and support. Now, there is a difference between me hearing Larry say something to Pat, and I go, oh, my God, Larry, jump to some conclusion, or go over and say, hey, man, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? How are you doing? What do you mean? Well, I just heard you speak to Pat, and it just seemed, I don't know, it just seemed aggressive, really. Are you doing okay? That's different. I heard something. Around here, do you know what we do because it's healthy? We judge action, not motive. When you judge motive, that's condemning. When you judge action, you look at action, you're like, hey, this is what I saw. Help me understand that. And frankly, let me just tell you, as a pastor of 30 years, I will come alongside people and say, I could probably tell you what I think. Like, I've been doing this long enough, I might be able to jump to a conclusion that would be accurate, and I'll just tell you right up front, I don't want to. That's not what I want to do. So tell me what's going on. Can we talk about what's going on? And how are you doing? That's the ministry of the body. And and let me say this, it gets stolen from us when we act like we're not able to do it. The directive is not about judging. The directive is how you judge. And when you come alongside someone with grace and kindness, that is how it will be returned to you, grace and kindness. And I thank God for that principle. Because we need those things. You see, the reading in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is so countercultural. It is so counterintuitive. Almost everything Jesus says is just weird. It's like, what? But I thought, and but I've heard. Yeah, we're trying to listen to what he said. And again, somebody, I'm sure many of us in the room might be saying, well, that's interpretation too. Okay, except he's saying right here what he said. I say this. That's about as clear as we can get it. I don't know what else. If that's your position, okay. But what we're trying to say is, what did he say? And then you can pray about that. Like, help me flush this out. And what does this look like for me? And it's not about shame and guilt and all that business. If that's what we're trying to do, check boxes, we're on the wrong reservation anyway. We're trying to live this full life. When the Lord gives us a directive, Vic and I were talking about this, parenting our kids. We were talking about this earlier. And when, as a parent, you come alongside, and like, I'm really trying to be helpful. I know that you are feeling like your mother and I get up every day and like go, another day to control your life. I get it. I mean, I understand, okay? But we're not. That's really like, we're not. We want you to be independent. Like, we want to launch you and you to be prepared and free, and we know you'll make mistakes and we want to be here for you. But like, that's the heart of what we're doing here. We want you to not make the stupid mistakes that I made. I don't want you to have the scars that I have. I don't want you to have to learn the hard way. I want to launch you. Jesus is trying to get us to live to the full. It's not about some beat down of, great, now more rules. I used to just not have to sleep with her, and now I can't even think about it. It's not that. It's the understanding of my life and the fullness that is there for me. I want to take us to some particular passages in Matthew 7, and I'm going to actually back us up as we back out of this message today. The last two verses of chapter 7 were where everybody was amazed by what he said. But I want us to look at Matthew 7, 24 to 27. There's a section here and it's called, this is what Jesus closes. This is his sermon close. This is the sermon close that Jesus gave for his Sermon on the Mount. So if Jesus was out there, as he starts verse 24, our next starts coming up. All right, get that picture, okay? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, wow. Come on. Everyone who hears what I'm saying, that's what we're doing today, what he said. Everyone who hears the words of mine, not the interpretations of everybody else, but the stuff that I just gave you, the dialing in that I just shared with you, everyone that hears the words of mine and then puts them into practice, that's the whole thing. You want a house on the rock? Do you want a house on the rock? Or do you want a house on the sand? Because a house on the sand does not stand against the storm. So you got a couple options. Hope for no storms or get your house on the rock. But the person that has their house on the rock is the one that hears what he's saying right here and does it. Hey, man, dude. I hope the mic got that. That was Judah. He's like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And I had a conversation with someone midnight last night, not at my own house. I went to one of the houses that I supervise. I had a conversation with them. I said, hey, best question is not is it right or wrong? Is it legal or illegal? Heaven and hell? Those aren't the best questions. The best question you can ever ask yourself in a situation of decision, is it wise? Is it wise? Is it illegal, legal? I don't know. Right or wrong? I don't know. Could I do this? Probably. Is it wise? Given where I've been and where I am and where I'm going, think about that for your own life. Given where you've been, your past circumstances. Some people in here can drink a beer, and other people, if you look at it, you're done. It's different. It's different. And you can say, where I've been and where I am currently, and this is the biggie, my future hopes and dreams, where I want to go. Aren't we all believing? Isn't that this time of year, 2022, the things we're going to unload, the things we're going to build up, the hope, the idealism, and the desire to live a better life, to be better, be a better person, live that best life, right? That's right now. And our question is, whatever I'm doing, is it wise to do that, given where I want to go? Jesus says the wise man is the one that hears my words and does them. Rains come down, streams rise, wind blows, beats against the house, but it doesn't fall because its foundation is on the rock. The rock of what? His words, what he said. On the rock of what he said. Now, of course, the other house, considered foolish. Everything crashes. That's his close. And it fell with a great crash. And then he would have everyone stand and sing. Like, that's the end of the message right there. He does chapter 5, chapter 6, and much of chapter 7, talking about, here are the things that I'm saying to you. And he understands. I don't think he was yelling. I think he was like, I totally get it. Like, I totally understand. Because I'm Jewish too. Like, I got it. And I understand all the stuff that we've been taught. But let me offer you this. Because this is where the fulfillment is. This is where the real living is. This is where the real life is. And I'd like to give you that insight because I happen to be the Son of God. I can give you that. That's where he closes. But back it up. Go to verse 21, which is the story right before the story about the house on the rock. This is crazy to me. Now, think of what he's done for 5, 6, and 7. How to pray, how to fast, how to love, how to give, how to serve. What to worry about, what not to worry about. All these different things he's outlined, right? And then he comes to this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, I'm intrigued, right? You? Yeah? Okay. But only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Jesus says that the only things he says are the things the Lord tells him to say. His words are the will of the Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not, and this is a crazy list, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? That's nuts. That's crazy. Like, didn't we prophesy in your name? In your name. It wasn't just like, thus saith Andy. No, I'm I'm being a messenger of God. Like, I'm saying Jesus. It's attached. I got the name badge. Like, I'm presenting on his behalf. A prophecy. Didn't we do miracles in your name? Did we talk about doing miracles or did we really do them? No. Apparently they really did them. And cast out demons in your name? What? That's crazy. You know the setup, right? We said, Lord, we did all these things for you in your name. And what's the next verse? It's a disturbing verse. Hey, I'm going to tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoer. What? Now, I don't know if that's, you just got punted into the molten center of the earth. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but there's a separation. And worse than that, are you ready? Hear my heart today. Worse than that is you've been doing this Christian thing the wrong way. That's the worst part. Is the divorce bad? Yeah. When the divorce day happens, that's a bad day. But you know what? There are months and months that precede that day. And that's the real tragedy. The difficulty of the struggle all of that time. Sometimes years and years. And so I'm doing a particular version of Christianity where I'm basing it on exorcisms and miracles and prophecy. And I'm doing it all in the name of the Lord. And I'm doing it publicly. And I'm happy to be there. And I'm missing the point the whole time. I'm missing the point the entire time. Because I'm not doing what he said. What he said. How to love really. It's incredible. It's incredible to me. So he does all this teaching and he wraps up with, hey, people are going to come to me. I don't know. I began to think of it. Hell, whatever that is, wherever, whatever. Whatever separation with him. Is that going to be populated with like miracle workers? And exorcists and people that fasted a lot? Because he's setting up the whole stage to say, you're doing all this, but you're doing it to be seen. You're doing it for some public performance. That's not what this is about. And you're ready? You're living less. And then the last one, he talks about the fruit. Verse 16. By their fruit, you're going to recognize them. You pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? That's a judgment statement, by the way. You're looking at something and like, what kind of fruit we got here? Oblong, yellow, lemon tree, right? And we know around here we say it. We're not interested in, I ain't being a lemon tree, so I'm picking everything off. Still a lemon tree. Or I'm supposed to be a lemon tree, I'm going to tape lemons on. We know that's not what we're going for. We're going for this stuff that he said that allows fruit to grow from us. So he does all this teaching, and you'll read it in the next couple of days. He wraps it up by saying, gotta be fruit. Gotta be fruit. And the fruit that you think it is, miracles, exorcisms, prophecies, don't bank on that. And if you'll hear my words and do them, you will be wise and your house will stand. That's his closing. Now my closing today is in Matthew 8. In Matthew 8 and 9, as you read through those this week, you're going to see Jesus talk about healings. He healed this person and that person. And sometimes they came and wanted him to go, and he's like, I'll go to your house and do it. They're like, no, just say it. He's like, okay. And from the hour, they're healed. Like, there's these miracles. And what you're going to see, now think about this. We're closing here. What you're going to see is Jesus, Messiah, King. Messiah, King. The king over the spirits. You're going to read more and more throughout these particular miracles. The spirit of this, a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of this. Like he was going to one of the houses and a woman with a spirit of infirmity, right? And he's going to just speak to those things, to speak to them. And you know what? I hope it challenges you and I hope it encourages you and I hope it puts something on your radar, because we'd have to ask ourselves, this spirit thing right here, is that just then? Or is that still going on? He opens these windows to us to see the spiritual dynamics of things that are happening. And sometimes instead of praying for an hour and a half, maybe we could just walk up and speak and the spirit of infirmity be gone. That can open up a window of thought and a window in your heart and a window of prayer. That's my rearing. I cut my teeth on that stuff. But that's not the story of every person in the room. And so you can be thinking about what would that mean? What would that mean? And I'm praying, and really it's a spiritual issue that can be spoken to. That's what we think about. That's what happens in us as we move through this reading. Now, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. This is what I want to leave you with today. Just finished the whole Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. And he said, hold this verse too. Just hold it right here. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, just hold it right there. Pause it right there. What do you think Jesus did? We're nodding yes. What do you think he did? Made him clean. What do you think he did first? What do you think he did second? What do you think he did third? Because what I'm going to offer for you is the third thing he did is make him clean. That's the third thing he did. The man says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And you know what Jesus can do. I mean, we know how Jesus makes breakfast, right? He says, breakfast. Pew, there it is. That's how he makes breakfast. All he had to do is go, just, and the man is clean. That's not what he did. And I want you to read these chapters in this way to recognize, yes, there's healing, and we need it. But I want you to understand Jesus, who he is, and all of these teachings, and all these things that he said, who he is. Is he a healer? Yes. But more than that, I want you to take a look at this. Healing was the third thing he did. Go to verse 3, please, Kelly. Jesus reached out his hand, touched him. Now, why does that matter? Why is that so important, Cole? Why does it matter, buddy? Because the man was a leper. When's the last time he got touched? Did Jesus have to touch him? He didn't have to touch him to heal him. He touched him because he loved him. He touched him because touch matters. He touched him because he's redefining something. He's not just coming as a healer. The first thing he did, the man asked for a healing, but the first thing he did, he reached out and touched him. And the man did have a question, didn't he? If you're willing, and Jesus says the second thing, I'm willing. Do you get the mileage out of that I get? You see, there's two things going on in most of our prayers. Is he able? Is he willing? He's willing. He said, I'm willing. And then he heals him. Jesus is not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me. He's not afraid of our situations. He's not afraid of the dirt we bring. He's not afraid of the bloodiness. He's not afraid of the brokenness. He's not afraid of the sin. He's not afraid of the disease. The first thing he does is he hugs me. Hugs me, touches me. Then he makes it very, very clear, oh, friend, I am willing. He's here available today. Hear his voice today. He says, I am willing. And then bring healing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace today. Thank you for your word, Ellie. Thank you for your word today. Walk through us, work through us. Lead us, guide us. Help us hear your voice. Help us hear you say how willing you are. We know you love us. We believe that. But this is just feels different. Andy, I'm willing. I'm willing to touch. I'm willing to meet with you. I'm willing to heal you. You touch me. You're not just putting out new information. You're not just redefining things to cause us tension or anxiety or confusion. At the end of that message, you reached out and you touched, you spoke your willingness to us, you healed. Help us to find you in that way, Father. Help us to find you and walk in that space. In your name, Jesus.
Hello, I'm Dana, and I'm the next step lady, and I find it ironic that I'm here to do the next step, part of the service, and to challenge you on what the next step is. And we're here in January. Did you know January is the biggest, most profitable month for gyms and for diet programs? They make a ton of money on all of us in January because they know one thing: we won't follow through. Right? We'll have that gym membership, we'll go three times, and then we'll stop. We'll start the diet. By the end of January, it's like 87% of people were not dieting anymore. But they got your money. And what Andy's challenging us to do is to have a new habit this year. How many will take up that challenge? How many will read these chapters that he's put in front of us? Because we can't hear what Jesus is going to say if we're not meeting with him. We can't know him if we're not meeting with him. It's not possible. So my challenge is that you open the Bible and that you go through this week the chapters that our pastor has asked us to read and see what God has to say to you. As someone who was raised in the Jewish faith, I'm very familiar with the Mishnah. If any of you have been to Israel, you've probably seen the results of the Mishnah when you go to a hotel and it has a Shabbat elevator. A Shabbat elevator is one you avoid taking. Because what the Shabbat elevator does is it stops at every floor. It's automatically programmed. Because a rabbi somewhere, Shabbat is Sabbath, a rabbi interpreted that work was pushing a button on an elevator. So on Sabbath, you can't push the button. So you have to all go into the Shabbat elevator and just wait for your turn for where it goes. Do you see how silly it gets? Do you see what he might have been saying to his fellow Jews? What are you doing? You've heard it said. You've read the Mishnah, and you can read the Mishnahs today, and there's multiple rabbis you can follow that will interpret and interpret and interpret and interpret. One of the interpretations was if you find an eggshell in your eggs, you can divorce your wife. That was grounds for divorce because she obviously doesn't care enough to take the eggshell out. That was a rabbi interpreting that. So how do we know what's true for us? How do we know what Jesus was saying to us, to our hearts, for that fulfillment of our lives? We have to be in the Word. We have to be in the Word. And there's no coincidence, those of you at Next Step that are doing Bible study fellowship with me, we're right in the same chapters, and you have homework. So do your homework. Read your verses. That's how God operates. So as you leave here today, I just challenge you to take the gift of the fullness of life. I challenge you to do something different this year, to be in your Word, to be in your Bible, so that when we come together on Sundays, it's going to make sense to us. We're going to understand it better because we know we've been having questions throughout the week. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to us. We've been learning how to speak to those spirits. We've been learning how to apply what Andy has for us. So as we go today, I am challenging you to do something different. Be one of that small percentage that actually implements a change from 2021 to 2022. And what a wonderful way to do it, to go through the New Testament this year. So thank you all for being here. Go in peace and come back next week with your Bibles, with your paper Bibles. Thank you.